are so good to us. You are glorious and you are holy. We love you, Lord. We just lay our sacrifices of praise before you today. And Father God, we pray that you'll accept these as a sweet incense that rises up from this building. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I didn't look at the list. Is it time for the kids to go to church? Children's kids go to church or come down front? Now down front, everybody. Come on, kids. Children's church down front. Where's that song? There it is.
I'm so glad you're here today. How many of you remember when you first started coloring? I'm wondering if you remember it kind of looked a little bit like this, a little bit outside of the lines. Yeah. And then as you got older, you got better at it, right? It started to look a little bit more like this, where you stayed in the lines a little bit more.
Why does some of yellow?
Well, because this is the Ten Commandments here, so the yellow's coming off the Ten Commandments. And then my two pictures remind me of how different people live. Some people choose to know the Ten Commandments, but when they actually choose to live their life, they don't follow them very well. They kind of do what they want to do. They do what they think is right. They kind of do what feels right at the time, what makes them happy. They don't pay attention to the Ten Commandments at all. So it's kind of all over the place. And when they think they're doing okay, but when God looks at them, they look a little messy, a little out of lines. And then you have people who see the Ten Commandments and they read their Bible and then they choose to make every effort to stay in the boundaries that God has given us. He's made every effort to do as God says, to follow God's laws and his commandments, and read the Bible and find out what they are. Now, all of us sometimes don't do exactly what God wants us to do, and then it's called sin because we're outside the lines that God gave us. But he gave us Jesus, which allows us to be forgiven and try to stay in the lines again. But what I want you to think about is that you have a choice. As you go through life, you have a choice of if you want to go through life doing what you want to do, how you want to do it, with whom you want to do it, when you want to do it, whatever makes you happy and satisfies you and your needs. Or if you're going to be a person who looks at the Ten Commandments and knows that that's what God wants you to follow. I did. And wants you to do what he says and follow his example. And then you can choose, and it is a choice, to do your very, very best to stay within the boundaries God has given you. And then, of course, like I said, when we go outside the boundaries, we have Jesus. And Jesus is there, and because Jesus is there, we can't ask for forgiveness. We receive forgiveness. And then we try once again to be very, very diligent and to stay in the boundaries God had given us. And besides reading the Bible and apologizing to God, there's one more thing we can do, and that is to pray to God and ask him to help us. Let's do that now. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, help us remember that you set boundaries for us. Help us to stay within those boundaries so that our lives will be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church. I love how little kids' personalities come out when they dismiss from here and go there. It's just comical. Well, welcome to Wiley Methodist Church. If you want to register your attendance with us, you can do that at this time. If you're a first-time visitor in the building or online, we do a lot of communication through our app. And if you do not have our app installed on your smartphone, if you have a smartphone, Jim Reinbolt may be the only person I know in the world who doesn't have a smartphone. I was gonna buy him one, but he didn't know what to do with it. So, anyway, you can do a search for Wiley Methodist Abilene in your app store and get a hit on that. Our trunk or treat is in 2 weeks on the 31st. And Carlene told me that we need 5 or 6 more vehicles to be used to distribute candy. Plus could use a few more workers. So if you want to sacrifice your vehicle for that 2 hours, you can go ahead and get on our app or on our website and sign up your vehicle or sign up to work. And our Operation Christmas Child campaign is still in session. It ends on, I believe, November 16th is what I saw. I read somewhere. I'm looking for somebody that knows. Yes? Yes. November 16th. So you can still grab a box and pack it in-house, or you can pack one online. And our online goal is 100, and I was on there a couple of days ago, and looks like we have 55 out of 100, so we're well on our way. So you can access that link either through the app or through the website. It has been a while since I've said anything about Houses for Healing Ministries, and we have a new set of house guests in the house. If you're not familiar with that ministry, we have a tiny house, a 400-square-foot house at our church, funded and built. And then it's available for people who are traveling from outside of Abilene into our community and are going through some kind of medical treatments, or maybe a family member is going through medical treatments. And we try to provide, free housing for one thing. And we also try to provide transportation as needed and food as needed as well. And so we have a new set of guests. And Ben, I think you've got a picture there, picture number one. Can you put that on the screen, please? Maybe. Possibly. Maybe not. That's not it. Well, let's move on. Ben, if you can find that, get it up there when you can. So we have a family, a mother, a daughter, and a husband of the daughter. Maria Griego is the mother. The daughter is Brenda Aguero, and her husband is Edward. And Maria's son, Fred Griego, is in Hendricks ICU with COVID. They're all from Big Spring, and he contracted the virus there. He was in Big Spring ICU, and they moved him to Abilene because his condition deteriorated. And so what we typically try to do is provide food for the families that are staying in the house. And we're trying to keep a hands-off approach with this family because there's a possibility of secondary exposure to the family. And so we're providing, cards, gift cards to them. And we really don't have a line item budget for that. So if you want to help this family out with their meals, you can do that by giving through the app or giving your money through the offering. That would be awesome. But something we do for every guest, in this case it's for Fred Griego, is we present that person with a Bible with their name on it. And so Kitten Arthur takes care of that. Kitten does a great job with that. And what we did this time, I found out early Thursday morning this family needed a place to stay. And so I said, okay, I'll meet you there about noon. They said that would work well. And Kitten goes to Murdell's and she gets Fred Griego's name on a Bible. And takes it over and drops it off at the house before we get there. And so I walk in, I show the family around, I look at the Bible, which is laying on a table, and the name on it is not Fred Griego. It's Brian Griego. So I said, that's not going to work. So I got the Bible, I put him under my arm. I didn't say anything. I thought we'd rectify the situation later, which we're taking care of that, right? Yes, it's done. And so I get the family settled in. I leave. I'm driving back to the church. I'm thinking, what am I going to do with this Bible? I mean, I can't give it to anybody. I was thinking about ways to maybe, take the name off and whatnot. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to my spirit. And this time I was listening. He said, find Brian Griego and give him that Bible. And I'm thinking, okay, I don't know a Brian Griego, but let's see what we can do. So I get back to the church and I do an internet search for Brian Griego. I'm glad for the internet. You know, if we didn't have the internet, I'd tell Carlene, see you later. I'm going to find Brian Griego somewhere. So I do a search. I get a hit, and there's a Brian Griego in California that works for Wells Fargo. He's a mortgage consultant, and it had his phone number listed there. And so I think I'm going to call this Brian Griego, see if he needs a Bible. He's got his name on it. So I call. He answers it on the second ring, and he said, this is Brian. I said, Brian Griego? He said, yes. And I said, this is Billy Cram. I said, this is probably the most random, bizarre phone call you'll ever get in your life. And I explained to him the situation that, we had a Fred Griego that we're ministering to, and we accidentally put Brian Griego's name on it. I was trying to find a Brian Griego that needed a Bible, and I wanted to get it to him. And I said, there's one with your name on it if you want it. And he immediately said, no, thank you. I've got one. I said, well, I'm not selling anything, but I do have a name, a Bible with your name on it. I need to find a Brian Griego and get it to him. I think God wants that to happen. So he said, thank you very much, hung up. So I continued my internet search, and I found another 8 or 9 and no phone numbers, all addresses. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, it's going to somebody. Who's it going to be? And just highlight a name or something. That went on for about 10 minutes. My phone rings, and I said, this is Billy. And he said, hey, this is Brian Griego. And then he hesitated. He said, I'll take that Bible. And I told Kitten later, Kitten, you did not make a mistake. So I told him, and he said, this is too odd and too weird for me not to accept this. He said, I don't know what's going on. And I said, well, I think God wants you to have it. He's got something for you. So I got his home address. He gave me his home address. And so that Bible is on the way to Roseville, California. Do you have a picture of that, Ben? Don't have a picture of that either. Well, it looks like this. It's got Brian Griego's name on it. I don't know what happened. You pulled that off the flash drive this morning and didn't download it to the computer. That's what happened. Okay. Trust me. Anyway, that Bible is on the way to Rosedale, California from Wiley Methodist Church. Church, all things work together for the good. Even our mistakes work together for the good. So this morning, I want to pray for Fred Griego and Brian Griego and the family of Fred Griego, that God will prove himself mighty. So y'all pray with me. Oh, Father, you are so, so good. And Lord, even on our worst days, you're incredibly good. Lord, I lift up Fred Griego to you, Father. I pray, God, for healing for him. I thank you that his oxygen intake is increasing. And Lord, I just saw a family that was really concerned and really needed you, especially Mom Maria. So Lord, would you comfort that family. Lord, as we continue to reach out and minister to them, Father, I pray that the love of Jesus just resonates in their hearts. Pray for encouragement for them and continued healing for Fred. Lord, if they don't know you, I pray that when this is over that they know you. And Lord, help us to be a good steward of the things that you've given us to share with others. And Lord, I thank you for your word. As somebody told me this morning, that it will not return to you void. It will accomplish its purpose. And so, Father, I pray right now that you if you haven't already, begin to soften Brian Griego's heart. I don't know if he knows you or doesn't know you. But Father, I pray that when he gets that Bible, that something in his heart just erupts. To where he knows Jesus is real, he's alive. And he can transform any situation. Oh, Lord, I thank you for your word. And God, we take for granted so many times that it's actually your words and that there's power, there's life there. So as we sit under teaching this morning, I pray that it, as it says about itself, I pray that it come alive and touch us deeply in this room and touch us deeply in our homes. Oh, Father, we praise you. You're so, so good. Trust you. Lord, continue to protect us in this house as we gather. I pray for good health to rest on this house. Rest on the homes of the people that are connected. Rest on the body of Christ. And Father, we love you. Thank you for opportunities to pray, and we pray the prayer that Jesus, you taught your disciples to pray. And Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. As we continue to worship church, now is time for our offering. You can either give in person or give online.
Good morning, church. Glad to see all of you here this morning. Glad for our live stream audience to be joining us. Hope you feel that Holy Spirit that we just sang about, we just invited into this place, we just invited into each home listening. I hope you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Do you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit? Man, I love that. I love that. It's my favorite thing to hear. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you're here. Hope you feel that. Hope you feel the love of Christ and His people. And at the end of the service, I will be out in the foyer and would love to meet you, have a free gift for our guests, and would love to get to know you a little bit. If invite the guests as well as our members, as Billy mentioned earlier, to register your attendance with us today through our app. Man, if you haven't got that, how many of you have our Wiley Methodist app? If you haven't got the app, there's a ton of stuff on there. I mean, Billy takes care of that, and every time I look on it, it seems like he's added something else that's on there. So it's exciting to get on there and just peruse around. You like that word, peruse? That's a good word, isn't it? All right, 2 Corinthians 5 is going to be where we are this morning. 2 Corinthians 5. This passage will probably be familiar to most of you. We're going to unpack it a little bit today. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 17. Now, the very first word is therefore. What happens when you see therefore? You look back. That was a button you missed, David, last week. Therefore. You missed it, buddy. If you see the word therefore, go back and read the several verses leading up to this passage. Because it's referring to that. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's important right there. It's kind of a prerequisite to what's fixed to be said here. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore, there it is again, Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you and we ask you now to speak. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have heard, and you may not have heard about it called this in this way, how many of you heard about the Real ID Act? Nobody listens to the news, man. Two people. It's an act that Congress enacted a while back, and it was supposed to take effect October the 1st of this year. And is anybody now starting to ring a bell? And it's been postponed because of COVID. It's been postponed to October the 1st next year, 2021. Go ahead and by that date, your driver's license, go ahead and throw that up there, Ben. Hello? Somebody get an extension cord and run it back to the sound booth. Just kidding. Just a joke. All right. Hey, hey-o. Everybody do that with me. Hey-o. All right, there we go. See the little star? That's I don't know. That is Janice Sample, by the way, is her name. See the little star in the upper right-hand corner? By October the 1st next year, if your driver's license doesn't have that little star in it, you won't be able to board an airplane. There's lots of things you won't be able to do if you don't have that. That all takes place because of the Real ID Act, and that is to verify to the government who you are, that you have gone through certain steps and processes to identify and verify your identity. Okay. This morning, as we unpack this passage a little bit, I want to make the point that as the song that we just sang, it's not who you think you are and it's not who others think you are that's important. Did you know that? I will say that again. It's not who you think you are or who others think you are that's important. It's who God says you are. And we just sang this beautiful song, Who You Say I Am is the name of the song by Hillsong. And it talks about that we are a child of God. Was that not, I don't know, I felt the Holy Spirit as we sang that song. Anybody else? But the chorus says, I am who you say I am. Lord, I am who you say I am. Well, who does the Lord say we are? We're his child. And he's proud of us. Irregardless of what we've done or what's been done to us or through us or any of those different things, if we feel worthy or if we feel unworthy, whatever, we're his child. That's who he says we are. So I've used this example many times that when our children, when Kirby and Jordan were born, I loved, and Cheryl did too, we loved them immediately. They hadn't done diddly squat for us. That's a West Texas word, diddly. It's in the Bible. Look it up. They hadn't done anything for us. They just born. They're just like laying there in the crib. But we loved them because they were ours. They were our children. That's the way God feels about us. We don't have to earn that. We don't have to deserve that. We belong to him, and he's proud of us. He loves us. We're starting a series today, a new sermon series called Identity. Identity. And today's message is you have position in Christ. You have position in Christ. We're going to unpack this scripture a little bit closer today. This is one of my favorite scriptures, but it tells who we are, and it also challenges us who God has called us to be. I mentioned it's, as I was reading the scripture, it's important that we understand that it starts out, if anyone is in Christ. So if you don't have Christ, then this doesn't really apply to you. What's this passage is talking about. If anyone is in Christ, these things apply. So if you are a follower of Christ, it doesn't mean you're not as loved, but it just means these things don't apply. And we'll get into that a little bit more. If you are a follower of Christ, number one, you are a new creation. You are a new creation. And he says it very clearly, the new creation. The old is gone, the new is coming. Well, what's the old? What are we talking about, the old and the new? What is that? A lot of times people accept Christ, it's like, I still look the same. I mean, I still struggle with some of the same things that I've always struggled with. So what does that mean, that we're new creation? The old is gone, the new has come. Well, we can go all the way back to creation. we are all created in the image of God. Okay? God created man, and when I say man, it's not a gender thing. It's man, mankind, men, women. And it says in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image, the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them. So we came into this creation. We came in as created in the image of God. We weren't corrupted by sin. Mankind was, it was pure, this image of our Creator. And something happened to that. Something corrupted that image, and it's called sin. It corrupted it. It didn't mean that it made us where we no longer love by God, but it's something has corrupted this image of God that was in us. Sometimes there is a book publishers have learned this trick that if you keep a book, and they do this a lot of time with music as well, with albums. Young people, I'll explain what an album is later. But with books primarily, they change the cover and the book is exactly the same. Why do they do that? Because they want to sell more books. Go ahead in fact, there's an example I just pulled. That John Grisham, A Time to Kill, there's four different covers. And each time they changed covers, the book sales surged. But the book was the same. It didn't change a nickel. That's not what happens to us. God doesn't change us on the outside of the cover. He's changing the contents of us. Something on the inside is being changed. Colossians says it this way, Colossians 2. When you were dead in your sins, there it is. So there's this this corruption that has happened to this to us being created in the image of God. Sin corrupts that. When we were dead in our sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He gave us back new life. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. So this old that is corrupted by the sinful nature, God, through Christ, He has made us new. He has restored us to the wholeness of this creation. Now, we're talking about on a spiritual level. And people, I get this a lot. People like, well, if we're now this new creation in Christ, why do I go on sinning? Read Romans. Read Romans. You'll learn all about this. But one of the things that we have to understand is that on a spiritual level, we have been washed as white as snow. We are now restored to this image of God. And let me gather my thoughts here. So we've been restored, and yet on the inside, we still struggle. I say it this way. Spiritually, this corrupt spirit in the flesh, spiritually we have been restored. We have a new creation in our flesh. And this is, Wesley kind of talked about this as sanctification, this process of the flesh catching up with the spirit. Is that making sense? Our flesh. So we still wrestle with some of those things, but we have been created into this new creation. The old, this sinful, corrupt nature has been restored to this new, restored nature of Christ, created in the image of God. Is that, shake your head if you're staying with me. Okay. If your person beside you is asleep, shake their head, just grab their head and shake it for them. So, if you are a follower of Christ, you're a new creation. Something changes in us. Secondly, if you're a follower of Christ, you've been reconciled to God. This passage we just read, here's what it says. All this is from God. So God's doing the work, not you and I. So many times, you know, we read these spiritual help books and it's like, hey, you know, here's how you do this. And so many people, and I've quoted statistics about this in the past, where you survey church-going Christians, and I forget exactly the number, but it was around 70% when they do a survey, ask you, you know, how will you go to heaven? And they say, be a good person. And I just want to scream. No, All of this, what we're fixing to talk about, is from God. It's not from us, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, this corrupt nature, the old. God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So we have been reconciled. Now, that's not a word that we use a whole lot in the English language. So I just want to kind of give you a way of looking at that. Maybe grab your hands around that word, reconciled. To basically, it means to restore right relationship. See, we have sin corrupted this right relationship that we have with God. And through Christ, through the cross, that right relationship has been restored. So the old has become new again. To make amends, reconciled. To make amends, the end of estrangement between God and mankind caused by original sin. So it's this restoring of right relationship. It's this making of amends and this ending of estrangement. Church, if you are in the sound of my voice in this room or at home, if you're in Christ, you have been made right with God. No, it doesn't matter what you feel, doesn't matter what you think, it doesn't matter what other people think or feel. If you are in Christ, if you have professed Christ as your Lord and Savior and repented of your sin, you have been made right with God, and it's not because we're a good old boy that deserved it. It's not of our own making. It's God's doing through Christ. Christ has canceled the debt that stood against us. And Ephesians 2:8 tells us that it is by grace you've been saved. Grace, unearned, unmerited favor. It is by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. So here's what we should do. I don't know that I do this. I don't know that any of us really do this. But today, every day, when we wake up, we should say, today, I am right with God. That should be our first thought. Today, through Christ, I'm right with God. I'm a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We have been reconciled. We have been restored to right relationship. Okay, finally, if you are a follower of Christ, number three, you have been given an essential mission. God does the work in cleaning us up, but then he doesn't just leave us there and go, we shouldn't be saying, whoo, man, and I talk about it being, are we consumers or are we servants? Hello. Are we consumers or servants? And a consumer says, thank you, Jesus. Now I'm going on about my business. I'm just still going to take care of old Jeff. Now, the servant says, okay, Lord, thank you for healing me. Thank you for restoring me. Thank you that I've been reconciled to you. Now, what do you want from me? How should I move forward? All of this restoration, this reconciliation, is from God who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We have been reconciled, and God has given us the ministry to go and share that reconciliation with a hurting and lost world. And I'm telling you, we got one. We got a hurting and lost world out there. So I want you in your own mind, just in your own mind, I want you to think about, just do a digital photo show in your mind of all the people you know that need Jesus, but they're not worth the trouble. Go ahead and let that soak in for just a second. Have you got all those people in mind? Because you want to just go ahead and skip them, right? So they need Jesus, but I'm just going to skip them. So it saves you time that way if you go ahead and make that list. I'm being facetious, right? Man, he gave us the reconciled. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are, therefore, there it is again, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. You know, that word ambassador, in the best way I can understand that word is politically, the United States sends out ambassadors to other countries, and I'm sure that they are told by the president of the State Department or someone, it's like, hey, as you go and visit this country, here's what we want you to say, here's what we want you to do, here's how we want you to represent us, whether it be with trade talks or whatever it might be. They're given instructions, and then they go, and when they say something as the ambassador of the United States of America, they are the United States ambassador. They're representing America. That's the same way it is with us with Christ. Christ reconciled us, and now he has given us the ministry of reconciliation as his ambassadors to a lost and hurting world. Shake your head if you're listening to me. If you're hearing what I'm saying, we, and I love this, Ephesians 2 says it this way, we are God's workmanship, and I like that there's one translation says masterpiece. That's my favorite. We're God's masterpiece. I mean, he has changed us. He has reconciled us. We are now no longer this old creation corrupted by sin. We're now a new creation restored to the image of God himself. And we are created, this masterpiece that he has created. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So sometimes we flip that, the good works, we think the good works gives us favor with God. No, the good works is our obedience to God after he has saved us by grace through faith. It doesn't save us. It's walking out the mission he has given us. In church, we have a wonderful message to convey to the world. Did you know that? We have a wonderful message. We have the only one that's really of any significance is the church. It's why Jesus told Peter, it's like when Peter proclaimed Jesus as the Christ, he said, on that, I'm gonna build my church. That you believe I'm the Christ. That's the foundation of the church. And that's what we are called to do, is go and share that. Lamentations is one of my favorite scriptures. Lamentations 3 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Does anybody else feel that but me? I mean, I've told the story when I was transitioning into ministry, when things weren't happening the way I thought they were going to do. Me and God, man, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to say that again. I was scolding God. And I was actually right outside, and before I had any affiliation with this church, I was running on this track, this golf cart track right outside these windows. And I'm scolding God. God, I trusted you. Where are you? You're not doing what I told you to do, what I thought you were going to do. And God, in his great love, he should have just zapped me right there. He should have just taken me out. But in his great love, he did not consume me. He said, I'm breaking you, Jeff. I want you to know that I'm faithful, I'm all you got, and I'm enough. And it allowed me to keep moving forward. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Another translation says his mercy, his loving kindness, who he is, it never fails. They are new every morning. Did you know that? That no matter, I know this gets pretty deep theologically, but no matter what knucklehead we are, no matter what we do, no matter what our day yesterday entailed, his mercies are new every morning. His love never fails. And we are not consumed. And we have that message. We have been told to be ambassadors of that message. God is more or less saying to you and me, I want the world to know about me. I want them to know about these unfailing mercies, my unfailing compassion. I want them to know about my son. I want them to hear about my love and my mercy and my grace. And I want you to tell them. You reconciled people. I want you to tell them. And not just tell them, but to show them. Be a people of love and mercy and compassion. I want you to be my representative, God is saying, my ambassador. So we can wake up every morning and not just say, I am right with God today. It's important. We need to say that and experience that every morning. But we also need to say, not only am I right with God, but I also have a mission today. I have a job. To go and I say it, I didn't realize for several years I was saying it, but it was pointed out to me. I say it at the end of every service. Go and tell someone. It's not just a catchy little thing I say. I really think the Lord wants us to hear that. Man, are we consumers or are we servants? I am, God says, or we say to God, I am who you say I am. I'm redeemed, I'm a new creation, I'm reconciled, and now I've been given the mission to go and share that. Go and walk it out. We have a job to do, church. But until we understand who we are, it won't work. If we don't understand who we are in Christ, you're not going to argue somebody into heaven. You're not going to argue somebody into faith. Man, I know a lot of people been loved into faith and loved into heaven by God's people and ultimately through God himself, through Christ. If you would just bow your heads with me. Father, we are humbled that we are not consumed because of your great love. We are not consumed. We are humbled that you would care enough about us to send Christ to die on a cross so that we would be reconciled to you, so that we would no longer be corrupted by sin, but that we would be brand new, this new creation, not on the outside, but on the inside, Lord. Magnify and multiply that in us. Father, help us to love as you love. We thank you for the position that we have in Christ. We thank you that we are right with God because of Jesus Christ. Empower us to be your ambassadors. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We've got, before we sing the last song, we got those pictures loaded. I wanted you to see, I forget, what was his name again? There's the family that is in our Houses for Healing. Billy, what's her name? Maria, Brenda, and Edward. And then the gentleman who got the Bible. Go ahead. That's not him. That's the Bible. I don't know if you knew that. Brian. Arrego. What show you, is that? You have another one? That's the Bible that went to him. You know, did you know that Bible that Billy put in the mail, that's being Christ's ambassadors? Did you know that? It's little things, and they add up, and they can be significant to people. So significant. Just a hug and a how are you today? Whatever. Let's stand as we close in song. You're a new creation. The old is gone. This corrupt old is gone. The new has come. We've been given a task to go and share that, as reconciled people, to go and share that ministry of reconciliation. So go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. The book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.